Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, as we continue to look at how do we live then as those who have been saved in Jesus Christ. We continue reading at verse 8 and through the end of the chapter as our text and as our scripture reading. As we continue to look at what it means to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that we present ourselves living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God. And this is, as we continue looking at that fact, our reasonable service. This is not out of order. This is not over and above. This is how we are to live as Christians. So let us read together God's Word. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. As we look at God's Word this morning, we are called, God summarizes there in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We are to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. And so as we look at God's Word this morning, we're called, how do we deal with other people? Last week we looked at how to deal with government. We looked previous to that with how do we deal in living in a world that is evil. How then do we live in our individual lives as Christians? And as we look at this passage of God's Word, we see first of all in verses 8 through 10, love fulfills God's law. We are called to love. And vice versa, love is obedience to God's law. And in verses 11 through 14, we see that love casts off the works of darkness, doesn't love the works of darkness, but rather clothes itself with the armor of God. Loves that which is righteous. Walking as in the day, not in the things of darkness, but the things which are revealed by the light. And so the theme that we want to see in God's Word as we look at it this morning is God calls His people to love in obedience to His commandments. God calls His people to love in obedience to His commandments. So first of all, love fulfills the law. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Owe no one anything. Now this is often a text which people say, well, that means you can't have a mortgage, a loan. But that's a misuse. Notice what it continues to say. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. We have a debt to love one another. That's the opposite of what is said there, owing no one anything, when we love one another. And so the Bible certainly has things to say about debt. It tells us that the borrower is slave of the lender, so there are warnings there. We have to be very careful not to get ourselves into debt too deeply. But this is about our way of life. We're not to live in any other way but to love one another. We live in a culture that hates one another. 2 Corinthians 8:21, we are to provide honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of all men. We are to love in an honorable way so that others may see us. We are to show one another love. There should be so much of it coming out of us as believers that people should feel that they need to return that love in some way. This is foreign to us. Once in a while we run into these people and we're like, ooh, that's a little weird. Because our culture is so full of hate and self-centeredness. Instead of loving and coming up alongside of one another and giving of ourselves. And I'm certainly not telling anybody that I've got this figured out. But brothers and sisters, we are called to love in deed, in action. We're so rich today. No, I didn't say middle class. I said we're so rich. We have so much stuff. And yet so often, I want it for myself. You would want something? No, we need to be open-handed, giving. You know what a pool that comes in one side and doesn't go out the other side is? It stinks. It's a cesspool. We are to receive from God and we are to let it flow out and give to other people and love them with what God gives us. Love, in one way, how do we understand love? It's keeping God's commandments. In fact, as we consider the commandments, God requires the opposite. And so he says, the commandments, verse 9, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot do one of those things, committing adultery, stealing, murdering, lying, bearing false witness. We can't covet and being loving someone. But far to the other end of the field is this idea of love. Okay, we've got a boundary way at the goal line on this end. But to go to the other end and say, not only am I not going to ever commit adultery, Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look at another woman. Or with regard to stealing. Going, I'm going to give and not take from other people. That's what God says, is instead of the breaking the commandments, we do the exact opposite. Instead of murdering, and of course Jesus tells us that hatred is the root of murder, self-centeredness, I'm going to be selfless. And instead of bearing false witness, I love how the catechism says that. I'm sure you've heard me say that numerous times. Instead of bearing false witness, I defend and promote my neighbor's good name. When somebody's saying, well, I heard, you say, well, I don't know whether or not that's true or not, but there's an awful lot of different ways of looking at that. To have the perspective on our neighbor that is not to look at them and say, well, I got juicy gossip and it's true. Then I should keep that to myself. But instead, to defend our neighbor's good name, to promote it. And with regard to covetousness, we live in a culture, and it's so easy for us to be carried on by that. Well, somebody has more than I do. Well, guess what? They may be better managers of things than I am. What does God say? If we're faithful in a little, God will give us more over which to see. And so, instead of running after these things. The opposite end of the field. Seeking to be obedient to God as perfectly as we can. Putting down those murders, those covetousness, those adulterous thoughts. And seeking to be obedient to God in loving our neighbor as ourselves. The purpose of the commandment, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. The commandments tell us this is off limits, but we got to be running to the other direction. These are sins which are glorified by our culture. Covetousness, lying, theft, adultery, and hatred, the root of murder, are glorified by our culture. We need to be countercultural then. The opposite of what our culture says. These are okay. In fact, these are good things. All breaking of God's commandments is self-love, and it is hate for other people. And so love is the fulfillment of the law. Love doesn't just hang around next to the goal line down here. Love runs the other direction. Paul writes, previous chapter, verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." Instead of looking for the optics and say, "Well, I can look decent, even if I'm rotten to the core." We talked about that, and I have to say that really struck me. Is what God says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." God is the one who is all-powerful. He uses good for His glory, for our good as Christians. And so, we're not to be overcome by evil, and we're not to dabble in evil, but instead we're running the other direction, seeking to do that which is good, and then we don't have to worry about what it looks like. Because we will be doing good and glorifying God. Love casts off the works of darkness. That's verses 11 through 14. We are, as Christians, to put off the works of darkness. We're not to get comfortable. I've believed in Jesus. I can sit back, relax. We're not to sleep, as we have that picture of the young women in the Bible, waiting for the return of the bridegroom, and they fell asleep. But we need to be ready for the return of Christ. Sleeping in the faith, comfort in this world, is a very dangerous place. Remember what happened to Lot. As he was, we read in 2 Peter 2, verse 7, oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Notice what happened to his daughters. They were so overwhelmed by what they had seen all the time in that culture in Sodom and Gomorrah that they committed incest with their father. Their morals were destroyed by the world around them. We need to be careful that our morals are not destroyed by the world around us. The world's going to tell us the exact opposite of what's good and right. And glorifying to God. And we as Christians need to live as those who are living in this world in different ways. Countercultural. Each day, I love that. Christ's second coming is one day closer. It doesn't matter that we don't know the day or the hour, as Jesus said. We know that the day of Christ's return is now closer than we started church this morning. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And so, Mark 13, 35 and 36, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." We are not to sit around and say, "Well, okay, I believed in Jesus, that's the end of the matter." We are to continue to cast off the works of darkness. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We are to cast off those works of darkness, to put on the armor of light. Ephesians 6:10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice that we are to be prepared for the battle that we are in, using the things God lays out for us here. That we know the truth, and so we're not going to be thrown aside by it. That we have the gospel, and we hold that fast. And He goes through, and God lays that out for us. We need those things. Those aren't just optional accessories to our faith. That's the center of what we're wearing. If we're not wearing a piece of armor, you think the enemy knows that? You think that's not where he's going to stick his sword in fighting against us? And we can so easily go through each one of those. We don't have time for that this morning. But to consider what each one of those lays out for us as Christians, that we are to use the defenses and the offenses which God has given to us, being careful that we are prepared. And we are to put on Christ in love, that we walk properly as in the light. This is what we are as Christians. The word Christian means little Christ. Colossians 3 verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We are to live as he lived. Instead of reveling in lusts of the world and our flesh, we are to live as a Christian, after the pattern of Christ, loving those who hate us, showing mercy, demonstrating the grace of God, of Christ, that he showed in saving sinners. We don't then need to return reviling for reviling. We can rest in God. We do not need to live as this world, fighting and tearing, trying to get on top. We are, as Christians, to live as those who love our neighbors, who walk as in the day, doing the things that show what we are as Christians, so that when others look, when they look deeply, they don't have to look past some fake front we put up as a Christian. Now, we're not perfect. People sometimes say, well, I don't want to go to church because there's so many hypocrites putting up a false front. But brothers and sisters, there's room for one more. We're all not perfect. The problem is we put up the false front. And we need to confess fully, the church is not the gathering of people who've got it right. We're the gathering of sinners saved by grace. We're the gathering of those who have been called out of darkness by Jesus. into the marvelous light of the gospel. And so we are not to put up provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. As we consider the sins that so easily ensnare us, we need to put up defenses. Well, I messed up on that one again. Well, did you make any thought to saying what leads me to that sin? Well, I get angry, or whatever it is. I just get angry. Well, take a moment. Consider the other person. And that's just one example. But instead of continuing to fume with anger and say, well, I just have no control over that, we as Christians can look and make no provision for that and say, well, then I'm just going to walk away. I'm not going to be angry and yell at people or whatever the sin is. And I'm just using that as one example. Make no provision for the flesh. We know that. We as Christians, when we consider ourselves, say, well, yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but man, I sure don't want to let go of that sin. That's kind of my pet. Now, brothers and sisters, we are to make no provision for that pet sin or the 30 or 40 we so often have sitting in the back room. Start looking like one of those cat ladies with sins. But no, we as Christians need to know that we are not to make provision for the flesh. We are to go the opposite end. If my sin is anger, then I need, as Christian, to say, you know what? I am going to put that to death not only by saying, well, I'm not going to get angry and failing again in 5 minutes, but instead to focus on the way in which love counteracts that fact. As a Christian, I have the love of Christ working in me, have the power of Almighty God who raised Jesus from the dead. And so then, as I have those times in which I struggle with anger, I need to be reminded that Jesus paid for that sin. And not only that, but Jesus has given Himself so that I don't have to fight that. And brothers and sisters, then we are to make no provision. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to be gentle to that person with whom I'm ready to be angry. And like I said, that's one example. But we look, instead of to stopping at the line over here, we say, let's check that at the other end of the field. I'm not even going to let that anger start to build. But instead, I'm going to show the love of God which He has towards us. And so, brothers and sisters, we're called to love. We're called to love. Too often in Reformed circles, that idea of love, well, that's a big and nebulous idea. But I hope that helps us to get a ground underneath it. How do we love? Obedience to God's commandments. But how do we love really? We don't stop at the finish line saying, well, I'm just barely not sinning here. We go the other direction. And we fight it at its root. And we look to Almighty God who gives us the power to fight it. And God's love fulfills God's law. And it casts off those works of darkness. It takes delight in the fact that we are to live in light. The light which God gives us. The light of His love with which He loved us and gave His Son to save us from the sins that we're going to have to struggle with all of our life long. We're never going to get this right here. But praise Jesus, He paid for that in full. Amen. So let us bow our heads and our hearts before Almighty God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love with which You loved us, demonstrating love toward us. And we pray, Lord, that we would show our love for You, our love for our neighbor, in showing that love, in obedience to your commandments, not in stopping before we break the letter of the law, but instead in going the exact opposite direction. And so, Lord, we pray, help us to love you. Help us to love our neighbor with the love with which you have loved us. And we pray, Lord, that our lives would glorify and honor you as our merciful and as our gracious God who loves us with an everlasting love. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you demonstrated love for us in giving your life for us. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. We pray that our lives would glorify and honor you because of that fact. And we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.